When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our podcast. This episode contains part two of our interview with Luz Melito, mentoring program coordinator with Rescued, Not Arrested Letter Writing Ministry. We hope you will enjoy this inspirational interview, and if God puts it on your heart, please consider writing letters to prisoners through this program. You really can be a guide to someone who needs help beginning or continuing their walk with Christ from within a prison situation. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Thank you.
Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Luce Melito.
How has your life been personally affected by all this?
Well, I mean, I've touched on some of it. I think that God opened my eyes. I came from a background of loving parents. Again, not perfect, but loving parents. A family, you know, that tight family. And always being protected by my parents. And so it really opened my eyes to the things that people go through in life and how sometimes we're so quick to judge people without really knowing why they are where they are. So I think that that has been the biggest thing for me. I've also learned not to judge, of course. I feel that I know by now that the ultimate judge is God, and it is not our role to judge others. It's our role to help them and guide them to God. That's what we are supposed to do. And I think, you know, as I've been a part of this ministry now for 9 years, I've just become more and more compassionate with people in general, which I think is the beauty of doing the prison ministry.
Are there other resources than what you mentioned that you can offer inmates?
Yes. So as I had said, we offer a Bible for them. We have three Bible studies. The first one is from the American Rehabilitation Ministry, which they call the American Bible Academy. When they finish that one, we send them the registration form for Crossroad Prison Ministry, and they also offer mentors. So the mentors that Crossroad have, they help them with the Bible study. And then there's a third one called Set Free. It's like, you know, we try to help them as much as we can so they will not only read the Bible. Many of them read the Bible and don't quite understand a lot of it. So these Bible studies help them to understand every single thing they're reading. And we also give resources for their families. So if their families want a Bible, they can contact our founder, and he will always be happy to give them a Bible. Sometimes they ask us for Bibles for their children. That has a limit on it, because we are not allowed to send Bibles to minors. The person in charge of the minor or the children has to contact our founder and ask for the Bible. That way we don't get into legal trouble trying to impose our faith. But sure. The other thing that I love about this ministry is that we offer release information. And Roger, our founder, is the one that is mainly in charge of this. When they live in Phoenix, Roger has so many contacts that he can help them find a job. And it may not be, you know, a high salary paid job, but it is a start, even to the sexual offenders. You know, he has many people who are Christians and kind enough that they will give a chance to anyone, no matter what their crime is. He yeah. also is always happy to talk to any inmate from any state to give him advice on how to go about now being in the world. Of course, you know, he gives him advice about not to hang out with people that they hung out in the past that are into criminal activity. But also, many of them are coming out of prison after 20, 30 years of being in prison. And they're so scared to face this world. So he helps them with advice. He also recommends a church. He has a big list of churches all around the U.S., so he can always help them with that. And if they don't have a place where to go, then Roger has so many contacts. They can go to a safe house, but they can also go to a faith-based program, or they can go also to a narcotics, you know, place, because many of the places that help people who have really struggled with addictions, they need to go to a place where they are still trained. You know, they cannot just go out the doors of the prison and go out, because there's so much temptation. So there are many programs that last between 3 and 6 months, and they get trained on how to say no and how to stay away from all these things that have caused so much pain to them and their families. So I love that part of the ministry.
How can listeners get involved? This is the big question.
Yes. I mean, of course, the main thing I can say is pray for the inmates in this country. They all need so much prayer. And in that, you can pray for the ones who have life sentences so they will find their purpose inside of prison. I can tell you from all the letters that I have seen, when it comes to the people who are in prison for life, some of them have the possibility of parole, but many of them don't. And I've read so many letters where they say, I am more free inside the prison than I ever was in the world. And it is just so incredible to hear that, because you would never picture somebody feeling safe in a prison, but once they know Jesus and they walk, they feel like that is their place. And they are, many of them are evangelizing and helping younger inmates or people who just came into prison. So, you know, that's one of the things that we can ask our listeners to pray for, as well as, you know, what I mentioned, those criminals that just get out of prison and come back in again, you know, and usually within months they're back in there, they already got into something bad, you know, outside in the world, or they just cannot seem to get over their addiction. So I think that that's one of the main prayers for those criminals, of course, that they will say yes to Jesus, because many of them see everyone with their Bibles and their, you know, there's study groups inside the jails and the prisons, and just a great number of Christians who get together and pray, and they don't want anything to do with them. They're like, oh, these fanatics, you know, I'm not going to get into that. And granted, you can go into jail or prison and just spend your time watching TV and playing cards, you know, if that's what a lot of them do. But just for them to open their eyes so they will see Jesus and see that they need Jesus, that he can change their lives, because that's the main thing about it. And of course, you know, those who are lonely, because there are so many inmates that just don't have any family helping them either financially. So they only get whatever the prison gives them, and the prison in general doesn't give them soap, doesn't give them shampoo, you know. So it's like the kind thing about this is you see other inmates who will give shampoo or soap to the inmates that don't have anything. But they also have, in every jail and prison, they have what they call a canteen. And it's kind of like a rolling little store where they can buy cheese, they can buy cookies, chocolates, reading glasses, you know, whatever it is, paper to write. And, you know, so when these people are so lonely, they just don't have much when they're in jail or prison. And they just need to feel loved, because, you know, we know that God loves them with all his heart. So they need to feel that love.
Say a person was listening to you and they said, you know, I'd really like to write letters. What would they do?
Yes, they can email me at mailmentor@rescuednotarrested.org.
Okay. Are there other ministries that people can branch out into?
You know, we've known some of them along the years, but Roger prefers that we don't recommend other ministries, because sometimes we just don't know what kind of faith they're following, right? And it's like, we want to make sure, like in this case, for Roger, it's all about the Bible and what, you know, having a relationship with Christ. So he usually just points to the chaplain, you know, because all of the jails and prisons, most of them have a chaplain. So the chaplain...
Are there other areas of ministry and Rescue Not Arrested that people can branch out into?
Inside Rescue Not Arrested, yes. They can be also volunteers who go to the jails and prisons. That, of course, entails a government process that you have to go through. You have to, like in the case of Arizona, in Maricopa, you have to take our class. And after you take the class, then you have to go to a government building. I don't remember which one it is, in downtown, where you have to get your prints done. And after 3 weeks or so, then your badge is ready. They send it to you, and then you can start going to the jail. And, of course, when you do that on the Rescue Not Arrested, they will always put someone who has experience that goes to the jails all the time to train you and to teach you how that is done. But also, Roger always needs help with the Bibles. He has two huge, big containers that are outside of the office. And so, you know, when he orders more Bibles, then they need to be placed into the containers. When he's sending bulk loads of Bibles to jails or prisons, he always needs people to help with that. So there is a lot of opportunities to help with this prison ministry, depending on what people can do or want to do.
You mentioned prayer for the inmates. How can we pray for the letter writing ministry specifically?
It's been very interesting because in the last couple of years, we've had what used to be a very easy process became very complicated because of the mail policies of the jails and the prisons. So we started, and probably it was around the pandemic or a little after the pandemic, a lot of jails and prisons decided that they were not going to receive envelopes and letters anymore in the jail or the prison. And the main reason for that was because there's a lot of drug contraband that comes through the letters. And just to give you an example, because people don't even know how things work, but I always say that if criminals use their to do something good, this world would be a different world. But at that time, they were seeing a lot of letters, envelopes, and stamps that were dipped into drugs. And they would send them to the jail or the prison, and then they would get high by leaking them. So they decided, you know, then they have a mail room, and people in the mail room are processing the mail, so that also caused problems. So they decided, okay, no more letters. So a lot of jails and prisons in America have hired a third-party organization that scans the letters, and then the inmate can see it in a kiosk or in their tablet. Most of the jails and prisons now give tablets to inmates. They are, of course, a closed network, so they cannot go into the internet, but they have programs in those tablets that are amazing because they have blogs from Christian churches. They have movies as well that they can pay to see the movie. They have Bible studies. They have the Bible as well, you know, scanning to the tablet.
Wow.
It just gives a lot of opportunities for the inmates to use their time wisely because there's so much in there to help them. Of course, there's also classes for those who have drug addictions or alcohol addiction. So it's great. Including the letters, now they can see them in their tablet, or if they don't have a tablet or the jail does not have tablet for the inmates, they put kiosks where they can read the letters from their family members as well as the letters from the mentors. But what that did for us was we would send a registration form for the Bible study to the inmates, and now that registration was being scanned, and nobody inside the jail or prison will allow them to print the registration form. So we were having to have the mentor write to the inmate to the address for the third party, and then in the office we would send the registration form to the physical address and ask them if they would be so kind to give it to the inmate, which most of them did. So that was one of the problems that we had. But then, as of probably a year and a half ago, a lot of the jails and prisons decided we are not allowing any books to come through because, again, there's a lot of contraband that comes inside the books. And so they said, what we're going to do is that we're only going to allow books that come directly from the publisher. And that gets the nonprofits out of the equation because we receive all the Bibles in boxes from our publisher. But then we have to open the Bibles to send them to the inmates. And so every jail and prison said, nope, you cannot send it because it could have been tampered with. So we will not accept your Bibles. So that just started making us also get delayed in assigning the letter because we were trying to talk to the prisons and the chaplains and see if we could then send Bibles in bulk if they needed Bibles. And trying to find out how to make everything work for the inmates so we could still provide material to them. So that has been such a big challenge. We're still very behind with the mail right now. So that is my main request for prayer is we have now more volunteers because I was working endless hours and still not getting ahead. Things are changing, but we still need the prayer so we can get up to speed with the letters, you know, and not have the inmates wait 2 or 3 months before they get a response from a mentor.
Yes. Well, I was wondering, do you have any final comments that you'd like to make?
Yes, I do. I love talking about this prison ministry. It's so part of my heart and my passion. But I meet so many Christian people who are not serving. And they want to serve, but they don't know where to start. And I always tell the people that say, well, I don't know. I don't know what my gift is. I don't know where I should serve. I always tell them, just call your church. And if you don't have a church, join a church and ask them and tell them you want to be useful and do something for the Lord, because you can't go wrong when you're serving. You may have an idea of what you want to do, and if so, then definitely look for a ministry that does exactly what you want to do. Like, I knew in my heart that I wanted to be in the prison ministry, and so I looked for it. But there is no wrong way. And even if you try one thing with a church or maybe a ministry and you don't feel like this is the right thing for you, then you can go and look for something else. But I always say, serve. You know, there's nothing like serving others. And serving the inmates in prison for me has been such a gift, and it has enriched my life. And it has, you know, not only opened my vision, but it also has made the Word of God, the Bible, just come to life, you know, to real life. And give me so many gifts. You know, I read the Word and I just see so many things where I see the hand of God in everything, in every story that I read in a letter, in every story that I hear from somebody who's suffering. It's like, it's just such an amazing way to grow your faith. So to me, that is the main thing. You know, with this ministry or any other ministry, I think that all of us who have already had the opportunity and the blessing of knowing Jesus, we should all be serving others, because that's what God wants us to do.
Well, to me, I've always had a thing when people talk about what their gift is and they don't know what their gift is. I think it's more important to know the giver than to worry about your gift. And I think you can pray to ask God, like Paul said, for the best gift in that particular situation.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. You know, and that is what it's all about. And the more you read your Word, you realize that what even Jesus came to say was like, you have to be the least and you have to serve everyone, because that is what the gift is. You know, it's like, I mean, there is nothing like that. And there's so many opportunities. I think that God opens our eyes to see all the opportunities to help people who are truly in need. And not just to consume the Word and use it for our own life, but to share it with others.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for being here, Luce, and we really appreciate it. We love you guys for what you're doing, and God bless you, and have a good day.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you guys, and I hope that these listeners will feel passionate about doing something and helping others. And that if they have in their heart to be a letter mentor or go to a jail or a prison, that they will do it. I mean, we will be happy to have them. We're always welcoming people to help us in the ministry.
Well, God bless you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.